shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I have not been rebellious. I am drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting.
Thank you.
It is just good to see those that return from the warmer climates because they miss the cold weather. Welcome home, Bruce. Huh? Carol Banta is here somewhere. There she is. And Jim and Barbara Rolfe as well. We just enjoy having you back with us. We missed you. Just want you to know that. Glad that you are here. Just a couple of announcements here tonight. That if you've come here tonight, not realizing that we're having communion because of the paper it was tomorrow night, we're having it tonight, but we're not having communion tomorrow night for a Good Friday service. Just so you know that, okay? No communion tomorrow night, but we are having it tonight. And if you didn't plan on communion, you're free to go and come back another time. I want to remind you that on Wednesday, next Wednesday, is the closing program for Joy Kids and Joy Us Kids. And there'll be a program at about 5 o'clock, and then there'll be free pizza afterwards. There'll be supper pizza. We're just asking that the rest of you can bring like a salad or a dessert that will kind of go along with that. And following that time, we will have Wednesday night fellowship. And Jeff Kyle is a speaker, if Dean hasn't talked to him already. So just be ready, Jeff, for Wednesday night. That's coming up next week. And I also want you to know that my mom called me this afternoon to say that they had over 20 inches of snow in kind of the center of the state of North Dakota. And then there was something on the news there that said that, you know, it's starting to be calving time in North Dakota. In some places they have more than 20 inches, sometimes 30 inches of snow, which is just incredible. It's unheard of. But anyway, as I answered the phone and it was my mother, Dave Reef comes to my office really quick and he says, we're going to be going to Sioux Falls. There's been a water pipe break in my daughter's house. And I told my mom, I said, yeah, a guy just came here, said he's had to go take care of a water problem with his daughter, his place in Sioux Falls. And he comes back and he goes, no, her water broke. She's having a baby. Like, of course I should have known that. So Millie Grace DeBoer was born this afternoon. 8 pounds, 15 ounces. 20 inches long. So she's like a little bowling ball. But everything is fine. Everything is fine there. So they are very happy. They probably won't be here for the rest of the weekend. They're watching Noah, the only grandson, now they got a granddaughter, and then they got dogs to watch at the house where they're at. So, but we congratulate Dave and Sarah Reef for their grandchildren. Also want to just remind you that, you know, keep people in your prayers. You think of Wayne Sunday, got Walt Meyer, Tammy Ebel, we got Dwayne Anderson. There's Dave Convey. I think they went down to see their son. You know, Dave lost all of his hearing, just so you know that. So it doesn't do any good to talk louder when you see him because he can't hear anything. But you can write little things. Have him read. You can read everything. So we're glad for that. But keep these people in your prayers. And I was going to let you know that Monday, Thursday, you know what Monday means? Monday comes from a Latin word, which means where we get the word mandatory.
a mandatory command that Jesus gave his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, which would be like the Last Supper. And what he told his disciples was, wash one another's feet as I have washed yours. It's basically a teaching on humility and servanthood. And thought about having a foot washing here tonight, but I know that would never fly in a Lutheran church. So we won't do that. But if we think of Jesus' teaching was, you know, love one another as he gave his life because he loved us, which is really a good thing to remember on a night like tonight and every day as far as that goes. But that's what Maundy Thursday means. It's a command that Jesus gave his disciples that is also for those who love him, that is our command too. So with that, I'm going to just have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on with our responsive reading here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for those that are coming back from down south, and probably a good thing is they don't have to watch us by Zoom anymore, and I know they enjoy coming back to the fellowship that they find here as well. Thank you for the surprises. Today, Lord, I had no idea that Bruce and Donna were back, and it was just so fun to be able to have Bible study this afternoon and see them sitting there at the table. And I just thought they'd wait until it really warmed up before they would come. Thank you for Carol, just to be able to see her. Thank you for her being so faithful and watching us by Zoom in Florida. And now she's here with us as well. And I think Jim and Barb watch us by Zoom too. And there's probably others. We know Walt and Cheryl are probably one of those that also did not miss a service here with us as well. But then they're on their way back. And we just pray for Walt, Lord, as you know how much he needs your touch in his life, as he's been having some blood count kind of problems. And you will see the doctor in Sioux Falls on Tuesday. And you know all the other people. I think of, you know, Kathy Brumais too, Lord, just recovering from a heart attack. We've got a lot of different things going on, and we know, Lord, that this is just one little speck in this world, and yet you know everything about everyone from this country to around the world, and I often wonder how you can do it. But that's why you are God, and you can handle all things, and you're almighty, you're the creator of heaven and earth, and every one of us as well. And so we thank you that you cared so much for us that you sent us your only son. And you died on the cross. And that's why we're here tonight, to be reminded again of what he went through for us. And so thank you for everyone that has come to the doors tonight, those that may be watching by Zoom. Lord, we pray that your special touch will be upon their hearts and their lives tonight too, from no matter what state they are Zooming in from. And it might be just locally too. But we are thankful for all who are joining us here this evening. So we just lift up to you this evening and put it in your hands that you would use it in a powerful way, that we would leave differently than the way we came in tonight, because we've spent time with Jesus. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom all secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God
did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen. Continuing with our theme of Jesus on trial, tonight we're looking at the sentence that was given to him, and I just want to read a portion of scripture as our springboard here tonight. It's found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 12 through 16. It says this: from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. We talked about this last Wednesday, a week ago. But the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Heavenly Father, as we hear these words, and they are sad words, but yet it was all part of your plan from the very beginning that no one really understood except for Jesus himself. And so we thank him this evening for what he did that no other human being could ever have done, as he took on the sin of the whole world, all of our sin as well. And so use this message here tonight, Lord, as a way of just reminding us of who Jesus really is. Today, yesterday, as well as for tomorrow. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In a court of law, there is first a verdict that says, guilty or not guilty. And then the judge pronounces, if the person is guilty, he then will give a sentence of what kind of punishment that this person is going to have. And so we have seen where Jesus has been given the verdict that he is guilty, when we know that there is nothing that he did to deserve that. So it was really kind of a false court that he endured and that he went through. And he was tried twice. Jesus is sentenced by the Jewish court for blasphemy. Blasphemy is when they ask him, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? And he said, it is as you say. And they couldn't handle that. And then they took him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman court. And after he went through that whole ordeal, Pilate was afraid of the people, because it was a Passover time. A lot of people came from all over the place into Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And then so Pilate thought he was doing them all a favor by saying, okay, flog Jesus. But later on he also said, crucify. Even though he washed his hands and said, he finds nothing wrong with this guy, let the blood be on you guys and not on me. But they still needed Pilate to give that order so that he would be crucified. So he's not an innocent little angel like he is hoping he could be. Who can tell me at what time of the day was Jesus crucified? What time of the day was he crucified? I can't hear because I'm 66 years old.
Early in the morning.
It was early in the morning, but what time in the morning?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. It was 9 o'clock that he was crucified on the cross. What time did he die?
3:00. 3:00,
yeah. So he's on the cross for only 6 hours, but that's plenty long when you're crucified. Hasn't happened to me, but I would think that it would be very painful. It's a very slow death. It's a terrible execution of the end of a person's life. Pilate was forced to face some important questions when he thought about meeting Jesus and Jesus' claim on being the king of the Jews. And he'd say, like, is it really true? Is he truly the king of the Jews? Like he says, he is, or was. He is. The Jews charged Jesus in claiming to be the Son of God. And Pilate could find no wrong with Jesus, but the question is still there. Who is he? That's the question really before us tonight. Who really is Jesus? So I want us to look at the testimony of what others have said about Jesus. And I'm going to start with, what does God's Word, what does God say about Jesus? And we'd have to go back to the first, when he was baptized. You go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Remember when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the river, there was a voice that the people heard from heaven. They didn't see who the voice was, but it could only have been God's voice. Where it said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And there was looked like a dove that came down and descended on Jesus. So you have the Trinity that is present at the baptism. We find on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5. Again, there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And this is added to it. Listen to him. The voice of God himself. Listen to him. At the end of Jesus' ministry in John 12, verse 28, again they hear a voice from heaven that says, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The testimony of God himself that people heard the voice, but did not see God, pertaining to who Jesus is. We go on to other claims that Jesus himself made during his ministry. We find where Jesus tells the Pharisees, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And they said, "You're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you know Abraham?" But remember, Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God became one of us. And yet we did not receive him. So he's talking about that he is God. And that he has been there taking part in the creation of the world even way back in Genesis. One of the questions I often get in confirmation with my confirmation students, or even like in Sunday school class with kids, I go like, "So where did God come from? Who is his mother?" You know, it's just, you're like, well, he always has been. He's eternal. He's always been around. They have a hard time grasping at them. Sometimes even as adults, we have a hard time with that too. But that's kind of where faith comes in. You just say, he's always been. He didn't come from somewhere. He's always been God. Jesus said that I and the Father are one. If you want to know what God is like, you got to know who Jesus is. The more you know about who Jesus is, you'll also see who God the Father is. They're one. There's a unity that's there. You find that in John 14:9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. We go to the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit always testifies about Jesus. Always testifies who Jesus is. We find that throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's witness is always that Jesus is the Son of God, and without him, we are lost. We have no eternity to look forward to without Jesus. And then there's men and women in the scriptures. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, which are the gospel writers. that each one of them testify that Jesus is the Son of God. John the Baptist even said that this is the Son of God. He's the one that says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And John testifies to the people, Jesus is the Son of God. Which is a huge statement in that day. You have Martha, Lazarus' death at his funeral. And she says from her own lips, she says to Jesus, "I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God." We find that in John 11:27. There's Peter, who was the first to confess, make the confession that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus said that that wasn't revealed to you by anyone else other than my Father in heaven. And he rejoiced when Peter made that statement, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And last, we want to look at is just Thomas. Remember, Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus showed up in the room after his resurrection. It was Thomas who said, "I don't believe you guys until I can touch his hand and put my hand in the side of where the spear kind of pierced him." And then Jesus shows up and goes right to Thomas and says, "Thomas, go ahead. Touch me." And what did Thomas say? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He came to believe who Jesus is. You know, Jesus could have rejected each of these confessions about him. He could have always said, "You know, well, you're wrong by saying that about me. No, that's not true." But we find that Jesus never, ever told people that what they've said is wrong. So what is your confession tonight? Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Is he really God's Son? Do you struggle with that, or have you come to believe that there's no doubt? He is God's Son. He's my Savior. Because that's what I believe. And that's who I say he is. But you have to decide that yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use the statements that we find in the Scriptures that continually remind us and point us that Jesus is the Son of God. And we also realize that all that he went through, there is no human being that could ever put up and go through what you did. Thank you for outwitting Satan, who would love to have kept Jesus from going to the cross, or maybe he was the biggest cheerleader, hoping that he would die and thinking that his whole life would be worth nothing. And yet it was his death that accomplished the forgiveness of sins for all mankind. So Lord, you are truly a wonderful Lord. You know more about things than what we do. Forgive us for sometimes taking things in our own hands. I probably shouldn't say sometimes. We probably do it a lot. So forgive us, Lord, and remind us that we need you, and there's no better place to put things into your hands for you to control. And so thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to be reminded and think again that Jesus is Lord, our Savior, He truly is the Son of God. In your name we pray. Amen. So what do we do next, Bob?
Apostles' Creed.
Okay, that's right. I usually forget the Apostles' Creed. But we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to stand as we do the creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit
and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, He thanked the Father for the bread, and He said to His disciples, "This is My body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And so He broke it. He gave it to His disciples. Breaking it is important because His body was also given for us on the cross. The songs we sang tonight, the blood ran red. And that was sinless blood that came out of Him and poured down from the cross because He loves us. His body. After the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had given thanks, He told His disciples that this is My blood given for you. For the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me. And He invited them to drink all of it. So it was the first time they ever heard this. But your body and your blood. We're to do this how long? Till He comes again. There's something very important that happens in communion. And not every church believes this. But there is forgiveness of sins that come as we confess our sins. And there is a strengthening of our faith that comes to us. Martin Luther left it always as a mystery. He said, the body and the blood, it doesn't change. You take the wafer or you take unleavened bread, or if you drink the wine or grape juice, it stays what it is. But as you receive it by faith, you take it by faith, the Lord is there to forgive and to strengthen your faith. Why do we confess sin at communion? Because we're acknowledging that sin has taken hold of us, and we need God's power to set us free, to give us the strength to be able to say no to sin, and to say yes to Him. So as you come, be mindful that there's something that takes place here that is very powerful, very intimate with you and the Lord. I'll invite the servers to come. You are more than glad that anyone can come, open communion. If you don't want the wine, just hold your hand like this. If there's little plastic packages on the wafer side that's gluten-free. So if you want something gluten-free, just take one of those little packaged wafers that are in there, and you're more than glad to do that. You can come up front to the altar if you'd like. Spend some time either kneeling or standing in front of the altar and just praying to the Lord. However you want to do that, stay as long as you want. It's up to you. And then you can go back and have a seat. That's it. We'll come and meet you, Chuck, at the end.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, our Father, on earth and in heaven, hallowed
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Just going to say this for a benediction tonight. It says that these things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced.
Thank you.